Gracious Father, we just humbly, Lord, and reverently receive you. Believing, O God, that you're here. Believing, O God, that you're getting ready to take us out of here. Winding things up, O God. We're looking, O God, for the great time of the resurrection, the time of the catching away. We've already come through the shout. We're praying to enter into the time of the voice. In the time of the trump. Help us, O God, to be ready. For you said the bride hath made herself ready. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sunday we spoke concerning the church and the choking off of the word. Excuse me. And we brought out about the squeeze that Brother Bram saw that was coming. And it will take place at the time when the council of churches begins to tighten up. And we brought out how that the squeeze is nothing compared to the word that is being choked off in the believer today by the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and other things coming in and choking off the word, that the word might not produce any fruit. And the reason this choking off of the word, I believe, is worse than the literal squeeze is because the very life in the word is far more precious than these bodies that could receive some problems in a literal squeeze that is ordained to come. In other words, when it comes right down to it, if we don't have the life of Christ in us, at the time that the squeeze from the council of churches comes, it's not going to do you any good to have a profession that you believe the message. Okay. The reason this choking off of the word is worse than the literal squeeze is because the very life in the word is far more precious than these bodies. The word being choked from producing fruit in the believer is a far worse squeeze spiritually than the shutting down or the persecution of the church. Because without the Holy Ghost in the believer, we are dead yet while we're living. Amen. Now that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned with the squeeze that Brother Bram talked about. But to have the life of the word choked so much to the point that it produces nothing is far worse than the persecution for your faith. Now, in this next quote tonight, I want us to see that Brother Bram believed that our squeeze is ordained by God to squeeze the self, or the self out of self, in order for you to come to the place where you can go, let go, and let God. From a sermon I know, Brother Bram said, there was too much of you in you. So God had to squeeze it out through trials. And while that squeezing was coming on, it's hard. But after a while, the skies clear back, and you see the purpose of God. Then you cry, I know my Redeemer liveth. And at the last days, he'll stand on the earth. And though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. These little trials and things are just for a moment. And they fade and they pass away. But they're only good. They're only done for your good. Let us remember that God would receive the glory. Now notice he said, there's too much of you in you. So God uses trials to squeeze you until some of that you in you, let's go. And let's God. And that is the way God does it. If you recall the sermons that we preached on the garden of your mind, we showed that every trial that comes your way is there because of the present condition of your mind. And so the reason why you have the trial then is because the present condition that you are in needs to be changed. It needs to go to a different condition. And that's kind of not a very good way of me putting it, because the sermon was really quite interesting, but from where we're at right now, just so you understand that you don't receive any trials because somebody else causes it on you. You receive them for the perfecting of you. The Bible says that the trials of your faith might produce in you praise, honor, and glory at the time of the revealing of Christ. Now, as the scripture says, it is God working in you to will and to do. And sometimes we get too full of self, and God has to squeeze the self out of us in order to make room for his own image to come forth in ours, or in us. We read Sunday in paragraph 119, a Brother Brown sermon, the masterpiece, where he said, the word is right, the church trying to squeeze it out. There's actually some 65 different times Brother Branham uses the term squeeze. Only once does he talk about the council of churches. Most of the time he's talking about the word being squeezed out of the believer. Now notice in this squeeze that he's pointing out, us to the word, and he says it is right, and then he adds the church is trying to squeeze the word out of the church. That's why Christ is at the door knocking, trying to get back in. Now that's an outstanding thought concerning the squeeze that Brother Brown mentions here, because the other quote mentions the World Council of Churches, and this one also has to do with the church and the word. He said the word is right, but the church trying to squeeze it out. Therefore, the church has to do with the word of God being rejected by the church. And it doesn't, you know, it's interesting because in this particular quote, you're not thinking of the World Council of Churches, you're thinking about the churches, whether they're Message or Baptist or whatever. But this both quotes speaks of a church trying to squeeze, puts a squeeze on you. One is to get the word out of you. And the other one is to put, it's just that you can't get the word out of you, so they want to put you away. And actually it doesn't have anything to do with you or I, except that we are the vessels in which the word is coming alive. And therefore, in order for the church to maintain its control, it must expel, cast out, or somehow nullify the work of God in us. Or they can just say, well, John 14:12 is for one man. And that's a good way to do it, too. Mm-hmm. Because the word of God is a seed that the sower planted, and when it is planted in good soil, that it is tilled and made ready, it will bear fruit. And that fruit for the season is what the church is against, because the fruit is a teaching of the season. Now, Brother Brown used the word squeeze 65 times throughout his ministry, and in most of them, he's talking about something being squeezed, like the life that was in Jesus Christ being squeezed out at Calvary in order for it to come back upon the believer. But several times he speaks of the effects of the word being squeezed out by the church religious system. The one quote everybody refers to when talking about the squeeze that is to come is taken from Look Away to Jesus that Brother Brown preached in 1963. From that sermon, Look Away to Jesus, he said, so now I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said all along. And that is the thing that we have looked for forward to for so long, or at least many years, 4 or 5 years or maybe longer, the third pole has now been vindicated. And I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there will never be any impersonation of that, because it can't be. It cannot be. Now it's in existence. And I'm warned of this, that soon, right after this time now, it's just happened, so it could identify its presence among you. Well, if the third pole has a presence, then it's got to be more than just a being able to speak something. It's actually, presence speaks of a person. So we're talking about the literal presence of God and God's life in the individual. And when it does, now the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything that could be done, but when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you are seeing temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. See? So here we see him speaking of the council of churches tightening up, and he calls this tightening up a squeeze. Now let's continue with what he's saying in his sermon, paragraph 17. Now I must continue in evangelism, just as I was commissioned first. I must continue on. Therefore you've had the word, and you know what to do, and you know what to look for, and how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism, and friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on, for the hour is approaching swiftly, see, that when something is going to be done. Now, you might see some little odd things happen from me, nothing sinful, I don't mean that, but I mean something odd to what the regular trend, because what I have reached you now in the ministry, I'm dropping back here, watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it. But it's going to be used. And everyone knows for as certain as the first was identified, so has the second been identified. And if you think real closely, you are spiritual, as the Bible said, here's to him who has wisdom. The third is properly identified. See, we know where it is, so the third pole is here. Now, the only thing I want to say on the third pole is he says it's properly he just said, it's properly been identified. But he also said, I must not speak much about it, because if I do, the devil will get a hold of it and do great damage. I've seen conventions where they preach for 7 days, you know, 2 or 3 services a day, and ministers preaching on the third pole. Well, I don't know how much you can preach on the third pole outside of what he told us about the third pole. But we know that the third pole was manifested in Hattie Wright when God gave her her boys. Is that right? Okay. What happened there?
Life.
They were given life, eternal life. All right, what about the fish? When his guts were out, he was dead. Brother Rand spake over the fish. What happened to the little fish?
Life
again. You see? What about the squirrels? There was nothing there, and then all of a sudden there was what? Life in those little squirrels. All right? So we're looking at then the power of life, which God is the author of life. And so, you know, he says, I must drop back. Well, you know, Elijah dropped back. Elijah went away for a season. And then when Elijah came back, there was a showdown. And I believe that when Brother Branham comes back, there's not going to be a showdown, but there's going to be a showdown with, I mean, let's face it, this is resurrection time. And so we know that the angel said, well, I'll see you in there, in that little box. And we know that people are coming in that little box, and they're missing limbs and everything else, and they're walking out the other side completely whole, changed. And they had no clue what happened. Could that be the third pole? I don't know. I believe it could be. Paragraph 118. It is so sacred that I must not say much about it. As he told me in the beginning, he said, this say nothing of it. You remember that years ago, it speaks for itself, see? But I've tried to explain the others, and I made a mistake. This would be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this, but this would be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. See? Now, and I must lay quiet for just a little while. Now, remember, and who's listening to this tape, you might see such change in my ministry right away, dropping back, not going up, dropping back. We're right at the edge now, and it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time's come, but it's thoroughly identified. Now, it's coming a time upon in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before it, which was pagan Rome, when it became papal Rome. See, that this nation will do that. Revelation 13 plainly explains that. The lamb came up out of the earth, the other beast came up out of the water, thickness of multitudes of people. This lamb came up where there was no people. A lamb represents religion, the Lamb of God. And remember, it spoke like a lamb. It was a lamb. And then after a while, it received power and spoke like a dragon and exercised all the power the dragon had before him. And the dragon is Rome always. So don't you see Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, an image under the beast, making a power that will force all Protestants like a union. You have to be into this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Well, it's practically that way now. You can't go to church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification. And now, on persons like ourselves, we're going to be cut out of all that altogether. That's exactly because they won't be able to do it. It's tightening. And then when that time comes and the press comes to a place, now see, now he's calling it a press, which is short for pressure. And the press comes to a place where you're pressed out, then watch. What I'm fixing to tell you in a minute, now watch the third pole then. It'll be absolutely to the totally lost, but it will be for the bride and the church. Now we're closer than it seems to be. I don't know when, but it's real, real close. Now, he's using words that are expressive, but yet do not clearly define what's going to happen. He calls this tightening a squeeze, and he calls it a press, all pressed out. These are the words he uses to tell us of the condition that he says is now on its way concerning our freedom to assemble and to worship. Now, we know that in the last 8 years, since 2001, let's say the last 15, 16 years, we've lost more freedom in this country than ever before. Freedom to assemble, freedom of speech, freedom of religious, freedom from religious persecution, all these things. Now, Sunday we talked about the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and other things coming in and choking the word of the life of the word. Now, Brother Brent said that those things have come upon the church and pressed down upon the church until there is nothing left but a worldly church. So we're actually getting it from many different angles. But mostly because, and you can actually look at the destruction of Rome. There was five major things, that reasons why Rome fell. Number one was the family. There was a dissolving of the family, the importance of the family. And number two, actually, was religion. You know, there was a real scurrying of the religious. You know, you look at the time of the Visigoths came down. You had the Catholic Church had come in. They had taken over. You didn't have like when Paul was there in Rome. You know, you didn't have the saints in the same capacity. You had Rome actually bringing in bringing religion and mixing it with politics, basically. And then you have some other things. You had entertainment. You know, you had and not just entertainment, but you know, X factor entertainment. You know, like everything today is X sports X and this X and that X and everything else is X, and it's all violent and it's all becoming the more violent the better. People want to see that stuff. Well, that's exactly what happened with Rome. You can see that the United States is gone in the same exact way that Rome fell, and so it's coming to a place where we're losing our freedom of religion, we're losing our freedoms of assembly and freedom of speech. And so we see that there's a press coming down. You're already feeling the press. Well, from the message, Shalom, Brother Brown said, the hour's upon us, and darkness, gross darkness, gross darkness of the people now. That's what it is. What does it all mean? Where are we standing? What are we in? How close are we to the coming? Why, you say, when all they have a revival, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. All right? What does it mean? God has begun to separate the light from the darkness. See? Pressing it behind, like he did in the beginning to show the dawn of a new day. The church ages are fading out. Now, pardon me. The church ages are fading out, and God is pressing the darkness into a place. It has to do it to fade out the church organizations, fade out the world. The world is covering the thing over, and worldlyism has took the whole thing. Then, isn't God right? By worldly things and worldly dressing and worldly acting and worldly living, it's the world. You are not of the world, little children. You are of heaven. This is not your home. Why should I look to us older people, try to look back and get young again? We can't do that. But we're looking forward, not looking back, looking here, what has been, and we want to know what's going to be, and we're looking for that hour, pressing for it. So see that this press is the world and worldliness upon the church. And God is allowing it to separate the light from darkness, just as he did in the beginning to show that a new day is approaching. But it's all, look, everything is happening in this country. You see the degradation, you see the loss of family values and everything else. It's all come because of a breakdown of the church. A breakdown of the focus. A breakdown of God being put forth as the center. You know, the religions today, their center is not Christ, even though they call themselves Christian. It's this organization or that organization or this program or that program or our mission work or whatever it is, and it's all focused on verbiage and isms and not on the person of Christ and being conformed to that image. From his sermon, Shalom, Brother Brown said, God at the beginning separated the light from the darkness. He always done that. What does he do? He presses it. By the coming light, he presses the darkness to the other side of the earth. And that's exactly what's coming to pass now. It's just before the day. The morning star has come out to hail the day coming. The Holy Spirit showing his light. It's coming a time when the light and darkness will have to be separated one from the other. Church and its order will take the order of the day, and Christ and his light, word, a promise, will go in the rapture. That's the only thing that's left for them to do. It's the day. Today is the dawn of a new day for many who are looking for his coming. So he's basically saying, look, in the churches today, I mean, you've got the light pressing up. You got people are getting ready for rapture. And your people are getting more and more and more immersed into their worldliness. And from his message, Shalom, he said, the difference is just like it was in the beginning.
when there was gross darkness upon the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water and said, let there be light. And God separated light from darkness. And I believe that we are now living in that hour again, that when God is separating light from darkness, He's pressing it to the other side of the world that the light might be made manifest. And we are, then the church, the reason I say shalom to them is because it's God's peace. That's what I want to bring to you this morning for the New Year's, not looking back, but we're looking forward to the breaking of a new day until there is something great laying ahead of us where the years has been the joy that we've looked forward to. The pressing, the coming to the great light. And now we can see it breaking over the horizon or horizontal realm, but breaking between mortal and immortality. We see it breaking between heavens and earth from an earthbound sickness and troubled world into a bright shining day of an immortal light and an immortal body and an immortal earth that can never pass away. It's shalom under the church. Now, it's light time coming for the believer, but it's gross darkness for the people. In other words, look out in the world what's happening. Look at the politics, and look at religion, and look at education, and look at everything else. It's getting darker and darker and darker and darker. But if you're really, truly walking in the light, things are getting lighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, because you know that you're dying to yourself. You know that you're becoming, you're actually being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we see that this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. God is pressing the darkness away by the light, and the church must respond to what God is doing, and that is where the squeeze comes forth. They must do it to save their own kingdom, and so they cast out the word, they squeeze down on the word. Now, he did not say the Catholic Church is solely responsible for the squeeze. But he said when the council begins to tighten up. When that council, Brother Branham called the Federation of Churches, but what we know of the squeeze is that it is tightening. And he also called it the press. And he said, God is doing it. So what are we afraid of? This, what we believe and stand for, is being squeezed out by many churches. Oh, that guy's a nut. He's a kook. Don't have anything to do with it. There is a purpose for everything God does. So shalom and peace. Because there's relaxation under the seventh seal. We're living so close to the end right now. We've got an election coming up. If Hillary gets in, we know that the next thing is bombs from Russia. Because that's the vision in 1933. And even Putin himself said, if the American people elect Hillary Clinton, it's war. He told that to his generals. Why? Because it's the same. He's going to have four more years of the same old garbage that Obama's been doing. Getting the, what's that? Military, NAFTA, not NAFTA, what's the deal? NATO. Getting NATO. Look, Obama's been working on NATO. You know, they fussed about Crimea. Crimea always belonged to Russia. It's historically belonged to Russia. What was the Crimea War over? And who was it with? It wasn't the country of Crimea. It was Russia. It was Russian property. It's their only port. Was that the Black Sea there? It's the only port in the Black Sea. And we come in, we try to tell, when they had like a majority of people, 70% of the people voted to go with Russia, they didn't want what the UN or what the EU was trying to put in there, and they went with Russia. We come and say, well, Russia's making a play. No, Russia didn't make a play. The people of Crimea said, we don't want the EU. We want Russia. And so we're over there stirring the pot, stirring the pot, stirring the pot. Something's going to bust. It's going to be this country because a vindicated prophet said so. And he said immediately after that sixth vision, the seventh vision took place. Well, from the mess of desperation, that's what we're studying. Brother Brown said, now I'm going to give you my text while you're turning. My text tonight is desperation. Desperation, and now you know what desperation is. And now we're going to read from Jeremiah the 29th. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to turn to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, isn't that sweet? Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you the accepted end.
Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I'll turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from the nations and from all the places where I have drove you, saith the Lord, and will bring you again unto the place which I have caused you to be carried away captive. Back to Pentecost. I put that in myself. It doesn't say that. That's what I was meaning to the church. Now, Luke 16, beginning 16th. Through all the prophets were until John, but since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Then he says again, every man presses into it. Not just simply walks into it easily, but it's got to be pressed into. See? There's a need for a squeeze. But the people might become desperate concerning the kingdom of God. Every man must not just come to it, but must press into it. And I think that's why he's going to just make us in a desperate position, because the people just are not responding right now the way they should be. We should be pressing every day. Now, remember what Brother Brown quoted back on Luke 16:16, said the law of the prophets were until John. Since the time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Now, notice Jesus said, every man presses into it. Well, greater than Solomon is here, Brother Brown said, anybody who drives looking through a rearview mirror has a wreck. That's what the matter with the church today. It's looking through a rearview mirror to what it was. No wonder it's wrecked up. Don't never. Paul said, pressing to the mark of the high calling, I go forward. I know Mr. Moody was a great man. Mr. Wesley was a great man. The Pentecostal move, the Baptist move were great. But let's press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ. Don't look through a rearview mirror 40 years ago. Look what is tonight. Look what the Scripture promises tonight. He did promise them in that day, but we're living on above there now. What's going on? Again, from his sermon, Desperation, Brother Branham is quoting the Scripture. He says, Desperation, when thou seest me with all thine heart, or when thou seekest me with all thine heart, then I'll hear you. See, the kingdom. The law and prophets were until John. Since then, the kingdom of heaven has been preached, and men press into it. You don't just stand around and say, well, pick me up by the collar, Lord, and push me in. You press into it. You get desperate between life and death. And for modern events made clear by prophecy, Brother Branham says, now, but let me tell you, I'm not just trying to tell people to leave church or I want you to go to church. Don't forsake to assemble yourselves together. But what I'm trying to tell you to do is to press into the kingdom of God. Get these things, the world, the church, Pentecostal, you people are getting too worldly. You're getting too much after the world. It's just easy. You just keep watching television and all these things and the way that they're doing and all this. And the first thing you know, the seminaries, the schools are beginning to compromise here and there and this and that and the other. And the first thing you know, it's got to come that way. The Pentecostal church, it's been my greatest support. I can't say nothing against it, but that's what I cry out. My brethren, get out. Call. Now, you don't have the meetings that you used to have. The people are not like they used to be. But Jesus Christ is the same. So let's move into Him. In other words, He's saying, look, there was a time when we had the sawdust trails and people came and they spent all day long on their knees crying before God. So where is that today? The revival fires are gone. Where is it today that people would, knowing that we're this close to the end, stay home and watch I Love Susie on Wednesday nights, like Brother Brown would say. More interested in television, more interested in sports, more interested in the things of the world than they are in getting ready to go home. Now, I like this next quote because in it we see that Jesus also went through a squeeze in order for the Holy Ghost to be squeezed out of Him so that it could come back upon you and I. Much like sweet perfume is squeezed from a lily or a rose in order to create a beautiful smelling perfume. From the church dedication, that in the great beautiful life that our Lord Jesus lived was instrumental in God's hands. But it could never be a perfume until He was crushed and mashed and spit on and squeezed the very life out of Him at Calvary. That made the anointing for us. He was a lily of the valley. What do you get out of lilies? Opium. What does opium do? It soothes pain. It puts you to sleep in a dreamland. What does the Holy Spirit do? The opium of the Holy Spirit eases every pain, takes away every tear, mends every heartache, the lily of the valley. And I noticed that Christ Jesus went through a squeeze too. I noticed that His squeeze was also brought on by the church of His day coming against Him. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:14, he said, I press
toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't just wander into it. I don't just come to church maybe once a week and hope that, you know, I'm going to catch something. I press. It's a daily thing. I die daily, he said.
And this word press is also used in 2 Corinthians 1 and 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Notice, pressed out of measure. Now the word press is translated from the Greek word dioko, and it means to bear down upon by pressure, to exert, to press forward, or to persecute. Now we find it used in more than 70 scriptures, of which that I'll read several more in closing. In Matthew 10:23, but when they persecute you, that's the same word dioko, from city to city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Matthew 23:34. Wherefore, behold, I send you unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute. Dioko. Squeeze from city to city. Matthew 5:10. Now listen, Alpha becomes Omega. Could it be we're going to be squeezed from place to place? Have to move around a bit. I don't know. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 5:11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, squeeze you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. That's how they do the squeeze. Verse 12. Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they, so squeezed they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them that will despitefully use you and press upon you, persecute you. Luke 21:12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. In John 15:20, remember the words that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will also keep yours also. John 5:16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done those things on the Sabbath day. In other words, they didn't agree with what he was doing because, look, he was the Lord of the Sabbath. Acts 22:4, and I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Paul was part of that squeeze until God took him out of it. 22:7, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why have you persecuted me? Why have you put the press on me? Why have you squeezed my children? Acts 7:52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. So you see, all the way through, from Alpha to Omega, I mean, there's been persecution, there's been a squeeze on the church, and it's been by the church. Romans 12:14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. 1 Corinthians 4:12. And labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. 2 Corinthians 4:9. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Galatians 4:29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. He's letting us know it's going to be the carnal believer. Every revival produces twins. And right in this message, we have two kinds of believers. We have believers, and we have spiritual believers, we have carnal believers. Galatians 5:11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. In other words, it's the same thing. It's just a squeeze continuous. Galatians 6:12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. In other words, look, these guys give you a hard time and they want you to go through the act of circumcision and all this other religious orders and all this other stuff, but they won't take the cross of Christ. Philippians 3:14, what is the cross of Christ? I am crucified every day. I crucify myself willfully that Christ might live in me. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ, God in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's not easy. It's a press. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer the squeeze. Revelation 12:13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he squeezed the woman, the church, which brought forth the man-child. Now notice that the majority of the time, dioko is translated as persecutor, persecution, which is what one does to another. But only a few times it is translated as press, which is what we do to ourselves when we press into the word. In other words, it is a live, die, sink, or swim attitude that we must have, as Brother Vail used to say. Now, the word press means to compress or squeeze, to weigh down, to heavily upon, or subject to pressure. And the word persecute means to pursue with harassing or oppressive treatment, especially because of religious or political beliefs, ethnic or racial origin, to annoy or trouble persistently. In other words, just people riding your case all the time. Well, has it begun? I think so. As far as in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, because the greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. And Father, we don't look at these things that, like Peter looked at the water, but help us, O God, to keep our focus on Thee. Help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Help us, Father, in these next few months to know that we know and to make sure, O God, that we are a prepared people ready for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Jesus Breaks Every Fetter. I think it's... It's probably in the Holy Glee book. Jesus breaks every fetter. You know it? Well, we'll sing an a cappella. I am now